Well, good morning, church. Title of the sermon is, Would You Recognize It If You Saw It? I got a riddle for you. And the riddle goes like this. What is something that humans seek and don't know it when they see it? What is something that humans seek and don't know it if they see it? Give it a stab at it.
Miracle.
Miracle? Answer is?
Drum roll, please.
Truth. Truth. Let me tell you what 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4 says. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachings to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. They will believe whatever they want to believe. This is what Winston Churchill said. Winston Churchill said, men occasionally stumble over the truth, but most of them pick themselves up and hurry off as if nothing had happened. They may be a common response to truth, but it places those who respond thrustly on the road to tragedy and destruction. There is no way, church, there is no way to love and follow God without loving and following truth. The two cannot be separated. So with that being said, another question that I'm going to ask you. What do you believe is the one reason we assemble together? Shoot out some answers to me. This is your participation time too. What do you believe is one of the reasons we assemble together?
To help one another.
Okay? Okay? God calls us to. One of the most important and crucial reasons that we assemble together is to hold fast the truth about God and His Word. We come together to know and hold fast to the truth. And how do we know this truth? And how do we get this truth? Right here. There is no other way. And there is no other source. And there is no other means by which we get truth and we come together and we hold fast to this truth than through God and His Word. No other way. The truth is not based, folks, the truth is not based on mine or your opinion on what we think and believe something is or is not. Truth is not defined by mankind, it's not defined by society, and it's not defined by the government. And before we read the passage today, there was a survey released by George Berna. He's a director of research at a cultural research center in Arizona Christian University back in 2020. And he done research that nearly 6 in 10 Americans believe they identify moral truth is up to each individual. That 6 in 10 people believe that the truth is based upon the individual themselves. So whatever I say to be truth, it's truth. Whatever you say to be truth, it's truth. While barely 4 in 10 say God is the basis of the truth. 4 in 10, folks. That's scary. 4 in 10 people say that God's the basis of the truth, but yet 6 in 10 people say, no, 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 no. I'm the basis of the truth. You're the basis of the truth. A total of 58% of U.S. adults agree that identifying moral truth is up to each individual. There is no moral absolutes that apply to everyone at all times, according to the survey. You know what's even scarier, folks? Surprisingly, 48% of adults identifying as born-again Christians agree with that statement. 48% of born-again Christians believe that moral truth is not up to God, it's up to the individual. Shouldn't that make you cringe and be scared the truth is being distorted like that? The president of Arizona Christian University said even the most basic questions of life, like how we make moral choices, we're choosing to lean completely on our own understanding to decide which is right and which wrong. What is it that our favorite scripture verse that we say, Doris? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and what? Lean not on your own understanding. But yet people are leaning on their own understanding when it comes to deciding what is right and what is wrong. When Americans were asked what the basis of truth is, 42% responded God. 16% said inner certainty. 15% said scientific proof. The other answers included tradition at 5%, public agreement 4%, and there was no truth at all, as some said. That was 5%, and then 13% said, I don't know. I don't know. As a nation, we become increasingly self-reliant. We trust ourselves or our discoveries rather than trusting the principle of God and what He provides. Berner says the distinguishing role God in people's life highlights why only, 6% of American adults possess a biblical worldview. And what is a biblical worldview? It's a comprehensive concept of the world from a Christian standpoint. 6%! That's scary. It's one thing to lack theological clarity regarding, biblical perspectives on, the immigration policies and end times. He says it's even more serious condition when the general public outright rejects God as the source of truth. The Bible as the conveyance of the truth and the very importance of integrating a known, proven, stable source of truth in our daily decisions and lifestyle. It has become the point where man has the definition of truth and it goes off of what man says, not God. And in our scripture verse, we have the most profound and eternal significant question in the Bible that was possessed by an unbeliever. And that unbeliever was Pontius Pilate, the man who handed Jesus over to be crucified. And he turned in his final hour, in Jesus' final hour, and asked him this very question. What is truth? What is truth? It was a rhetorical question and a cynical response to what Jesus revealed to him in verses 37 when he says, I have come into the world to testify to the truth. So 2,000 years later, folks, the world is breathing Pilate's cynicism on what it is about truth. I can imagine that Pilate sneered in mockery and was very angry that Jesus would dare to speak with him about truth. So he looked straight in the face of the incarnate absolute truth. He could not discern it. And please, if you would please join me as we pick up this conversation between Jesus and Pilate concerning the question, what is truth? John chapter 18, verses 28 through 32. No, sorry, my bad. 33 through 38. It says, so Pilate entered the headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered, do you say this on your own account or did others say it to you about me? And Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation and chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not of this world. Then Pilate said to him, So you are a king? And Jesus answered, You said that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Pilate said to him, What is truth? And after he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, I find no guilt in him. This very question that Pilate was asking Jesus is the very same question that we need to be asking ourselves. What is truth? Do we truly know what it is? Because, folks, we have people that are living in this world now. They think they know what the truth is. But they don't know. Even when it's standing right in front of you. And it's staring you in the face. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. But Lord, most importantly, we thank you for being the truth. The standard. Help us, Lord, through your word and through the message that we realize that truth is not based on what I say or my opinion, whether it's right or wrong. It's based on you. So help us to, Lord, as we go into this new year, and even, Lord, as time gets even more rough, that we don't veer away from the truth, that we stick close to the truth. We thank you for your word. We ask that you will bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, as we come into the Gospel of John, it's important for us to understand that John is unique. The Gospel of John is unique. Well, it is one of the Gospels. It is not one of the Synoptic Gospels. The Synoptic Gospels are Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and they are considered synoptic because they all tell the similar stories in a similar way. There are multiple parallel between the three. John stands out as being different because it does not follow this pattern. The Synoptic Gospel has more of a focus on Jesus as human form of God, but John's purpose is to present not a chronological narrative of Jesus' life, but he's to talk about and display the deity of Christ, that he is God in the flesh. This brings me to the first point that I want to establish with you. And you'll notice in your bulletin outline that there's a lot of blanks in there today. Because that same word that's in there is something that we have to really understand. And the first one is, what is truth? What is it? So what is truth? Here is a definition drawn up from what the Bible teaches, that truth is that which is consistent with mind, will, character, glory, and being of God. Even more to the point, truth is the self-expression of God. Period. That is the biblical meaning of truth, because the definition of truth flows from God. So when it flows from God, truth is theological. Also, truth is the way things really are. Reality is what it is because God declared it and made it so. And therefore, God is the author, He's the source, He's the determiner, He's the governor, He's the ultimate standard, He's the final judge of all truth. There are many false conceptions of truth. Here are some of the false conceptions. Some think truth to be situational ethics, which means whatever the situation calls for, that's truth. That's the appropriate truth. Whatever it calls for, that's the truth about it. Some think that truth is relatively personal, which means whatever a person thinks is right, that's what truth is to them. Some think that truth is found in sincerity. Whatever a person sincerely believes is truth to them. Some think that we find truth in feelings. That whatever a person feels and seems right to them, then that's truth to them. You see how dangerous this can be. Truth is absolute and certain, in spite of what foolish man may say about it being relative or changing or flexible. Everything that is not truth must be a what? A lie. Anything that's not truth is a lie. For every statement, idea, and opinion is one or the other. It's either a truth or it's a lie. Now let me remind you, and let us continue that consider that the first lie that ever happened, that we know of, happened in the Garden of Eden back in Genesis chapter 3. What happened there? Listen to verse 1. Now the serpent was more craftier than any of the beasts of the field that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, this is where it starts, did God really say? Did God really say? Let me reaffirm something else that you may already know, and that is God the Father is the God of truth. Psalm 31:5 and Isaiah 65:16, and there's more that proves that God is truth. And Jesus Christ is full of grace and truth, John 1:14. And in fact, He is the truth, John 14:6, when it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Paul calls Scripture the Word of truth in 2 Timothy 2:15. Jesus prayed in John 17:17, Your Word is truth. Everything about God is true, because God always tells it like it is. And here we have a celestial. It's Satan, and he's the serpent, and his strategy is lie and deception. And what Satan needs to do to affect the results he wants is to create a lie that Eve would believe. And he has deceived her, and that is why Jesus in John 8:44 says and calls Satan the father of lies. And here we have the first lie, as far as we know it, ever told, and that is what Satan does. What does he do? He lies. He's the father of lies. Mark this down. He lies about two things. One, he lies about the character of God. And he lies about the truth of God. The character, and he lies about the truth of God. And that's where his assault is inevitably directed. Truth is not subjective. It is not invalid, outdated, or irrelevant concept. It doesn't mean that because the Bible speaks of truth back in Jesus' time and before the creation of the world, doesn't mean that in the 2023, the 21st century, that his truth is outdated. Because his truth will never be outdated. His truth is His truth before He spoke it into existence. Truth is what it is, truth, because God said so. Truth is the self-expression of God, and again, truth is thus theological. It is the reality God has created, defined, over which He rules. God is the ruler and perfecter of the truth because it is who He is. Truth is therefore a moral issue for every human being, which leads me to the second point, and that is this. The second point is this. How valuable is truth? How valuable is it? The value of truth is worth is more than gold, yes, than fine gold, Psalm 19:10. John Calvin said this: nothing is deemed more precious by God than truth. No one can be saved without truth, nor can anyone be sanctified and strengthened without it. It is the truth. Proverbs 23:23 says, buy truth. That's B-U-Y. Buy truth and do not sell it. Buy wisdom, instruction, and understanding. Solomon is telling us this, that the truth is a precious commodity that carries a very high price tag. And once you have it, if you really, truly realize its worth to us, there is no amount of money that would persuade you to part with it. True value of the truth. Once you buy truth, don't sell it to anyone. Keep it. Others will try to buy it from you. How? By offering you the pleasures and distractions that take the truth away from you. We see it in our world today that we're selling our truth for lies in the world. When you buy the truth, keep it. Don't sell it and give it up. Truth is this very valuable commodity to you. We just celebrated Jesus coming into this world last month, but have you truly pondered the value of that? Now, I understand that not only does His coming brought us salvation from our sin, but according to verse 37, Jesus tells us, for this purpose I have come, I was born, and this purpose I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Now let's keep in mind, and not forget that God's truth has been under attack since Satan deceived Eve in the garden. What he has caused Eve to do, listen church, what he has caused Eve to do was to question and ultimately doubt the truth of God. He caused her to believe that God was withholding good things from her. And as soon as one does not completely, wholeheartedly, unreservedly trust in the wisdom and goodness of God, you're in trouble and you have sinned. You see, Eve didn't sin when she ate from the tree. She didn't sin when that happened. She sinned when she stopped believing God was good and only good. And if there was a flaw in God's character, she could not always trust His Word. So when she disbelieved who God was and His trust in His Word, that's when she sinned. It wasn't when she took the bite or whatever she did with the tree. It's what she did before that is what caused the fall. And we all know the tragic result. All sin comes from distrusting God. You realize that, church? All sin comes when we don't trust God. We do it on a day-to-day basis and you don't even know it. When we say, oh, I have this issue and I have this problem, but I don't think anybody's going to be able to take care of it for me. God, who you? We already sinned because we now said we don't trust you, God, with that problem because we know you can't do anything about it. So we sit and sulk in our problem and we sit and sulk in what we got going on when we know God of truth can handle anything we have. But yet we still disbelieve God. And that's what happened in the garden. We disbelieved God. We said, you're not good enough. We don't trust your words. Your character is flawed. We don't understand, but we are not going to trust you now because you withheld good things from us. That's all Satan had to do is say, did God really say? And he's still saying it today. Did God really say that? And we have a world out there that's believing in that. They're buying into that. They've sold their truth to the lie, and now they're believing that. Well, maybe God didn't really say that. Maybe He didn't say that. And we all know the tragic result of this distrust in God in the garden. We are now under the curse of sin, and because of the curse of sin, mankind's definition of truth has become distorted, and God can't be trusted. And because truth has been distorted, truth is a rare commodity in the exchange of thoughts and ideas today. And in fact, we have cheapened whatever concept we have in our minds of truth with the notion that you believe whatever you want to believe, and I'll believe whatever I want to believe. And it really doesn't matter what the Bible says about truth, because everybody has their own interpretation of the Bible anyway. So as long as you're sincere, nothing else matters. That's the truth in the worlds we live in today. God is the one source and the sole author of truth. Sin is whatever God says it is. Judgment is whatever God says it is. Salvation is whatever God says it is. Heaven and hell are what God says they are. It matters not what man says, but simply what God says. One word, listen, one word of what God says is worth more than 10,000 upon 10,000 of man's libraries and what he says. One word is worth more than all that. Romans 3:4 says, let God be found true, though every man be found a liar. Which leads me to my third and final point. Truth is a person. Truth is a person. Truth, would you recognize it if you saw it? That's the title of my sermon. Would you recognize it if you saw it? It's not as easy to recognize truth as it sounds. At least Pontius Pilate didn't recognize truth, even if he was standing right in front of him, staring him right in the face. Nobody cared what happened in Jerusalem, and nobody really cared about the trial that Jesus was on. No one really cared about this Jesus. He stood before Pontius Pilate. Truth, we find out, at the end of this trial, was not really what Pontius Pilate was worried about. Yet Jesus keeps talking about the truth. Within these verses, three times the word truth comes up in these few verses. And throughout the Gospel of John, Jesus has used the word truth 26 times. At least 26 times. And here in verse 37 tells us, for this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. He does not say he came to fill our heads with true statement. Truth is not simply a collection of true statements. You see, a true statement about something relies on the observation or the judgment or the evaluation of someone. You and I become the one who determines the truth. But if that is all that there is to truth, then we will never reach it, because truth then is subject to my judgment, my interpretation, and my words or your words, and 5 billion more people who have an observation or an opinion on something. The truth is that upon which everything rests. Jesus Christ is the foundation upon which everything rests. The Apostle Paul makes it clear when he says in Colossians 1:15, he, being Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Christ is the image of the invisible God. Image means more than that Jesus is like God. He is the representative and the manifestation of God. Image denotes not only the image, but pattern, the original which set forth likeness or resemblance of God. It's more than just the image of that he's like God, but that he is God. Jesus represents the Father, like the picture on a dollar bill represents the president. If we have seen Jesus, we have seen the Father, John 1:14 and 14:9 says. He is not made in the image of God as man is made in the image of God. He is the expressed image of God. And since he is God, he reflects all that God is. The Son is the exact image, not a derived image of God. He does not merely resemble, but He represents God. He is all the essence of deity. He is sovereign, eternal life, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, immutable, etc. Add on to that, that's what Jesus is because that's what God is. He is God Himself. The Son is essential, an eternal image of God. So if truth is a person, and Jesus told Pilate that He came to bear witness to the truth, and we established that truth is that which is consistent in the mind, will, and glory, and character of God, even more to the point that truth is the self-expression of God. And Paul declared in Colossians 1:15 that Jesus is the express image of God. Guess what? Jesus came to bear witness about Himself. He came to bear witness about Himself. And the sad thing about all of this is that the truth was standing in front of Pilate and he just couldn't see it. And what is even more sadder than that, what John tells us in John 1:10, he says, He, being Jesus, was in the world and the world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. Sad, sad, sad that the truth is standing right before Pilate. But what's even sadder is that Jesus came into the world that He created, and yet the world did not recognize truth when they saw it. But don't lose focus, church, on what Jesus tells us at the end of verse 37. Everyone who is of the truth listens to My voice. He does not say, everyone who believes true things listens to My voice. Rather, only those who are of the truth. This is a key statement. Everyone who is of the truth listens to My voice. In other words, everyone who belongs to the truth listens to My voice. That means all of us who belong to Christ are of the truth and we listen to Christ's voice. How do we listen to Christ's voice? We listen to Christ's voice through His Word. We listen to the Word speak to us. Everybody says, well, I don't hear Jesus speak to me. Well, read the Word. Well, I still can't hear Him. Well, read it out loud. Amen. He's speaking through His Word. He has always spoke through His Word. That's His way of speaking to us. And if we belong to Him, well, we can't help but want to dive in and listen to what He says. And not a lot of it's easy stuff to comprehend and get into our minds because we are fleshly and we still are in sinful bodies. And there are times when we say, I don't want to listen. La, 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 I don't hear you. La, la, la. That's what my kids used to try to do with me and Lisa when they were younger. La, 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 I don't hear you. You're going to hear me here in a minute. But see, that's sometimes what we do. But you got to understand that Jesus didn't bring the truth to make us feel good. That book is not here to make us happy. You know what this book is here to do? It's make us holy. This book is to make us holy, not happy. Sometimes you've heard the old expression, truth hurts. There's times when that's truth smacks me right between the eyes and knocks me for a loop. And like my mama said, boy, if you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into the next week. This word knocks me into the next week because it's truth. And sometimes you don't want to hear the truth, but it's sometimes you got to hear the truth because if you belong to Christ, you belong to the truth. Truth doesn't change because we have an attitude when we wake up in the morning. Truth doesn't change because society changed. Truth doesn't change because the government says, this is it and this is it. Truth doesn't change because a society or a people or a church or a nation says this is what it is. Truth doesn't change because truth is a person. Truth is Jesus Christ. And if you believe in Him, you belong to Him. You belong to the truth. Pilate didn't belong to the truth. So when he sees this Jesus stand before him, he cannot see that He is the Son of God. That He is indeed King not only of the Jews, but of all creation. Pilate doesn't see that because he doesn't see the truth. And it's because one man, Jesus Christ, because of his work, what he done. The truth is that because Jesus died on the cross for you and me and rose from the dead, you are holy. The truth is that because Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. The truth is that because of the works of the Son of God, you are righteous in God's sight and you are perfect in His eyes. You are a dear child of His and you belong to Him. That is what truth does. And it's because of one man, Jesus Christ, because of His work and sending His Spirit, we are called by the gospel, enlightened you with His gifts, sanctified and keep you in the faith. It's because of the truth of the Spirit that keeps us moving. It keeps us in the faith. It protects us. Because we're no longer under the punishment of sin. And we're no longer under the power of sin. When the truth of the Spirit is within us, we're no longer under them. And soon and very soon, church, we'll no longer be in the presence of sin. Soon and very soon. So again, the question that I want to leave you, and that we must answer, what is truth? It is Jesus Christ. And in our gospel reading, he stands before Pilate about to be crucified for you and me because he is the way, the truth, and the life. Truth has a final word in all matters. Tells us how to worship, how to walk. It tells us how we follow Christ. It is the final arbiter of all and any subjects. It is the final judge of every life. Truth. And then not only that, all people are measured by the truth. Every life is weighed in the balance by the truth. Every destiny is marked by truth. And so the truth will have the final say in every life. So remember, truth is a person. Truth is a person. So folks, as we close up, on January 8th, 2023, where are we heading at in this year?